Reformed Church.
You know, it has been really interesting lately. I have been, I don't know if you've noticed, but there have been several messages that where I've mentioned, I think even specifically last message, I was reading to you, I don't know if it was out of Leviticus or where it was, where the Lord says to be holy as I'm holy. And the thing that I was talking to you about there that just gave me a lot more understanding about that verse than I had previously, which, you know, I had never really looked at that before, but I had shared with you how in past years when I read be holy as I'm holy, it almost comes across like the Lord is telling you, look at me and can't you be more like me, right? But in actuality, obviously, if you really think about it in light of everything that the Lord has been teaching us and a lot of, you know, everything around, you know, beholding the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, understanding how he has made us as he is, right? Then you really understand that what the Lord is saying is, if you look at my holiness, you're seeing your own, right? You're seeing the same holiness that you're observing in me is what I have put on the inside of you. And then, you know, just maybe between last night and this morning, and even throughout the day today, just kept coming back over and over again to my mind. And so I'll read to you just real quick. I have kind of been, there's a word for what I'm looking for, almost kind of like my starting place for a lot of the things, a lot of the thought processes in my mind. The Lord has been bringing me back constantly to 2 Peter chapter 3. Almost like everything is kind of goes back to that same point. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. And he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So really, what should be seen? What is it that could be manifest from us when our heart has the understanding of the temporal nature of everything that you see, right? And obviously, a lot of what you understand the temporal, the temporariness, if that, I can just make up that word right now, the temporariness, right, or how temporal things are in this world when you understand the eternity that God has put on the inside of us, right, and you see how, you know, we will never be made new again, but the world, the heavens and the earth will be made new again. So obviously, so you see, these are temporary. These things will be burnt up. These things will be made new, but we will never be made new. We are as new as we're ever going to be, right? I mean, obviously, our body will be transformed, but we ourselves, right, our spirit, we are as new as we're ever going to be. And then this is something I noticed, and you may not put it together immediately just from a holiness perspective, but Leviticus chapter 11 and verse number 44, it says, For I am the Lord your God, which right there, he's already beginning to show things, but he says, for I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Right, so what he's really asking them to do is to really behold him, to come to know him, right? And then he says, neither shall you defy yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am, listen to what he says in verse number 45. For I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt, which really what he's saying is there, I'm the Lord your God, right? I am the one that really looking at it from a New Testament perspective, right? He is the one, right? He is our God and we are his people. So he has made us sons. And he's saying, when he tells them, I am the Lord your God who brings you out of the land of Egypt. He's saying, I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of this world, right? And if you think when the Lord says that, like, I brought you out of this world, and he actually says to them, he says, I'll read the whole verse 45 to you. He says, for I am the Lord who brings you out of the land of Egypt, out of the world, right, is really what he's saying there, to be your God, you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Think about this for a second. What does the people of Israel coming out of Egypt have to do with them being holy as he's holy, right? But really what that is really speaking to is in actuality, I'll give you maybe like the New Testament translation. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12, and then I'll show you the similarities here, but Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12, and if we can look at, Brother Andre, can we look at the LSV version, which is really cool the way it's worded there? I think it's just a very scriptural, actually, I mean, this is scripture, but it aligns very well with scripture in the LSV. He says, giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified us for the participation of the inheritance of the holy ones in the light. So he's talking about there, he's qualified us to be partakers of our inheritance that we have in us. And then he says, who rescued us. Really cool, right? Rescued, which is what he says that he did. And I just did a real cursory look. About 40-some times throughout Scripture, the Lord tells the people of Israel that, and reminds them over and over again that he's the one that rescued them out of Egypt, right? He took them, he brought them out of Egypt, right, and rescued them. So he said, who rescued us out of the authority of the darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So here's a really cool thing if you look at that. In Leviticus, he says, be holy as I'm holy, because I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. And since I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt, you should be holy as I'm holy, right? And what he's really saying there is, I am the God that saved you. So through the cross, right, through Jesus Christ, right, and through his sacrifice, you have received the forgiveness of your sins, which means that even though you're in this world, the sin and the death in this world, the hosts of the heavens and the principalities and powers in this world have no dominion over you, right? Sin and death have no dominion over you. This world has no more dominion over you because of everything that Jesus accomplished for us through the cross. So since you're in this world, but I have now made you my own. I have made you sons. I brought you into my kingdom, right? We're obviously a kingdom, and it kind of goes without saying, but a kingdom where he is our king, right? Which he always wanted to be, the king of the people of Israel, right? He never wanted them to have another king. He wanted to be the one to reign over them. Funny enough, right, that's what happens in our lives, right? The Lord is the one that reigns on the inside of us, right? So he's become our king, right? But the cool thing is there that he's translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, which is really a way of saying that he brought us out of Egypt, right? He took us out of the earth, right, and translated us into his kingdom, which is it gives you more understanding there. Like, that's why if we go back to Leviticus 11:45 in the New King James Version, Leviticus 11:45, he says, for I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy as I'm holy. So the cool thing is, so we have been, another way to say holy another way kind of to define holiness is to be separate from the world, right? But of course we're separate from the world, right? Because in actuality, even though we may not manifest our separateness from the world, right, we are completely separate. Like if you look to the truth of what God has done, right, he has separated us out of this world. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has made it so that the things of this world don't have dominion over us. So we are holy like God is holy. Just as God is set apart. And actually Jesus even, you know, he kind of digs into this a little bit more. In John 17, let me read it to you kind of in his words. In Jesus' words, John 17, verse number 13 in New King James. He says, but now I come to you, he's praying to the Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world. Right? So it is obviously by the word of God that we have been set apart, right? And it is by that exact same word that the Lord actually really manifests holiness out of us, right? It's by his word that he sanctifies us, right? Right? Our minds are being washed and cleansed by the word, right? But he says, verse number 15, I have given them your word, and they have, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And obviously that's a perfect contrast there, right? They're not of the world like I'm not of the world. They're holy as I am holy. Right, we need to manifest that holiness. So since we see that how temporary the things of this world are, and seeing that we have received this thing called eternal life, and seeing that we are of a heavenly kingdom, right? That we used to take after the image of the earthly man, right? But now we are as heavenly as he is heavenly, right? Then what is it that should be seen out of us, right, by the Spirit of God in this world? It should obviously be the holiness that we possess already as part of our inheritance, right? We have been set apart, right? We have received that already. In verse 15, he said, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, right? Part of the way that we're kept, right, is through the knowledge of Christ and the reminder of how holy, how set apart the Lord has already made us, right? We are really in this world, and I know the church has said it before, we're in this world and not of it, even though it's not actually a verse just like that. But the concept is actually true, right? We're in it, we live in this world, but we are really not of this world. We don't have to be subject to anything and any of the illness and sickness and disease that's in this world. And the more and more that we grow in the knowledge of how we are heavenly and not earthly, right, that understanding, I am heavenly and not earthly, and I can be as set apart from this world as he is, right? And why is that? Because he is the God that delivered us out of Egypt, right? He is the God that has taken us out of this world and brought us into this kingdom. He is the God that through Jesus Christ, right, has not made us sons of men, but sons of God, right? That is a really cool thing, right? We are no longer sons of men that take after Adam. We are sons of God through Jesus Christ, right? Born of the same Spirit. So it's just a cool thing to remember. And then he says in verse number 16, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Again, the same exact contrast that he had in verse 13. They're not of the world because I'm not of the world. Verse number 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, right? That's how the Lord continually sets us apart, right, is by growing in the knowledge of Jesus. And he says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for your sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by your truth. So just a very, very cool, very, very cool thing. There's more that I could tell you just about certain things about us being sanctified by the Word of God. But I just thought it was just a cool thing to be able to see, you know, when the Lord is telling us, you know, be holy as I'm holy, what he's really saying is, you know what, set yourself apart because I have already made you apart. I have already made you different and made you heavenly as I am and made you non-earthly and not no longer subject to the things of the world as I'm not subject to the things of the world. That as you keep hearing that and keep allowing the Lord to give you revelation of what that means in your life, it's a cool thing to be able to see yourself from that perspective. I see myself as a heavenly person, not as an earthly individual, right? Because it's not hard for us in our day-to-day to look at people that may look just like us, to be able to hear people constantly talk about things that you may even be experiencing in your life, and yet have to remember in your mind that you're not the same, right? That there is a huge, huge, huge difference. And that a lot of what we experience, obviously, is because our minds need to be more set apart than they are, just in our thinking and our reasoning, right? And obviously, that only happens by the renewal of our mind by the Spirit of God.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.